March is Myeloma Awareness Month. This is a series recognizing cancer disparities in Michigan with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. My name is Michael Van Tool. I'm here with Lauren Wagner. She's the patient and community outreach manager for Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Great. And you brought a couple of guests with you. Jeffrey A. Zonder, MD, is the leader of the Multiple Myeloma and Amyloidosis Multidisciplinary Team. It's a long title, as well as the co-leader of a scientific member of the Molecular Therapeutics Program at the Barbara Ann Karmanos Cancer Institute. He's also a professor in the Department of Oncology at Wayne State University School of Medicine. Good morning, Jeffrey Zonder.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Great. And also Paris Jones. Paris is a film producer and CEO of Paris Films and a myeloma survivor. Good morning.
And good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Great. All right. Well, Lauren, you know, you are with Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. The concept of Myeloma Awareness Month and the Myeloma Link program in Detroit. Can you tell us a little bit about what this month, what we're recognizing this month?
Yeah, well, the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, for those who are unfamiliar, is the global leader or a global leader in the fight against cancer. Our mission is really to cure leukemia, lymphoma, Hodgkin's disease, and myeloma, and improve the quality of life of patients and their families. We do this through life-saving blood cancer research around the world. We provide free information and support services, and are really the voice for blood cancer patients seeking access to quality, affordable, coordinator care. Locally here, I work with patients, caregivers, families, healthcare providers, really anyone in the community touching the blood cancer space to ensure that we reach as many blood cancer patients as possible. As part of that work, I'm really raising awareness this month about myeloma, which is one of our more unique blood cancers that disproportionately affects African Americans nationwide, as well as right here in Detroit and in Michigan. So the program I currently manage is called Myeloma Link. The goal of this program is to raise awareness about myeloma in Detroit and beyond, and to ensure Black patients and families are getting connected to the care and the resources that they need in a timely manner. So today I brought these two incredible individuals with me to kind of share about myeloma and the experience from the doctor side and the patient side, and what it is all about.
Well, great. Well, Dr. Zonder, just let me know. Sometimes it gets a little technical, but what is myeloma? What is that myeloma cancer?
Multiple myeloma is a form of blood cancer. Specifically, it's plasma cells become cancerous in the bone marrow. When myeloma develops in your bone marrow, as those cells overgrow, it can cause problems in the bone marrow itself and also other symptoms in your body.
Mm-hmm. And this is one of a number of blood cancers, and you have studied these blood cancers. What are some of the other cancers?
So other common types of blood cancer are non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, Hodgkin's lymphoma, leukemias. We mentioned another disease that I manage, amyloidosis, which is a mm-hmm. disease that's related to multiple myeloma. So these are all different types of blood cancers or blood conditions.
Well, you know, let me just say that again. When I was introducing you, it was amyloidosis. So what is that? Because that's the first time, you know, I interview all the time, and that one caught me by surprise, amyloidosis. So what is that?
Right. So that's actually a whole group of diseases, and what mm-hmm. they all have in common is abnormal protein deposits in different tissues and organs in your body. And one type of amyloidosis called light chain amyloidosis is closely related to myeloma. So the therapies that we've developed for multiple myeloma, we bring to bear against that one type of amyloidosis.
Well, I can tell you what, you know, I knew that you knew all the answers, and I can tell because you're very well informed on this. Why is it important for our audience to know more about myeloma, and who is affected by this?
Well, it's important because it's the second most common blood cancer, and it affects people more commonly as they age. It's a little bit more common in men. It's much more common in African-American people. So mm-hmm. African-American people have twice the risk of developing multiple myeloma over the course of their lives as white people. And
So why does it cause, you know, what causes this disparity?
So we don't know that, and there's been a lot of work going into answering that question. The Karmanos Cancer Institute has been involved in several national efforts looking for genetic risk factors.
Mm-hmm.
Genetic risk probably is more of a factor than environmental risk, because it does seem to be true that people of African heritage, wherever they're in the world, actually have a higher incidence of multiple myeloma, so they can't really be environmental.
Mm-hmm.
There are some environmental exposures that we know are associated. So, for instance, Agent Orange exposure is a known risk factor, and so we've seen many Vietnam vets who've developed multiple myeloma. So it's probably a mix of genetic predisposition and some environmental factors as well.
You know, because I think that's the first thing everybody thinks about is like, well, how do you catch it and what can I do to avoid it, you know? How do you know that you've got it? How do you know that, you know, this is not something that people normally think about, you know?
Right. So there's a couple different questions there. So in terms of how to screen for it, mm-hmm. or how to, there's really no formal recommended screening tests for multiple myeloma. Almost all patients with myeloma used to have a benign precursor condition called MGUS, mm-hmm. which is way more common than myeloma. Actually, a few percent of people just walking around have MGUS and probably don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's picked up on blood work. A lot of times, like I said, people never know that they have MGUS. But there is actually a large national study going on right now called the PROMISE study, which patients can find online. If you go to, if you look up PROMISE study and myeloma, it's for people over the age of 30 who are either African American or have a first degree relative that have myeloma or another related blood cancer.
What are some of the signs? I mean, you know, because it's like if we knew a little bit more, I think maybe some people would actually go now because they. So, what are some of the signs of myeloma?
So, sometimes it's due to the development of back pain or other bony pain.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it can be related to symptoms of fatigue or exercise intolerance, which turn out to be related to anemia. So, symptomatic anemia. A lot of times, though, patients are diagnosed after there's an abnormality found on blood work. You know, they're going in for routine blood work, and it turns out their kidney function isn't quite normal, or their blood counts aren't quite normal, or their calcium level's a little bit elevated. Those would be pretty common things.
I know some people must be surprised sometimes they go in with back pain, and it turns out to be a cancer.
Right.
That how shocking that is. Thank God that the organizations like the Leukemia and Myeloma and the Lymphoma Society, because you're going to need some support for that. And we're going to talk to Lauren about that in a few more minutes, too. So what can individuals do that are listening now to protect themselves from developing myeloma?
You know, really, there's no specific measure that one can take to prevent myeloma. But you know, what I would say is, I mean, regular medical follow-up with your family physician to make sure that you're having periodic lab work, that you're periodically having a physical exam, and just to make sure that nothing's brewing that could be picked up on routine testing that you might not recognize mm-hmm. on the basis of symptoms.
What are the current treatments right now?
So the treatments for multiple myeloma are expanding rapidly. You know, it's moving so fast. And, you know, I think about treatment today compared to treatment when I first started my career. There are just so many. Usually, treatment starts with a combination of different chemotherapy drugs, often with some steroids and increasingly also with antibodies that are directed against the myeloma, all given together as sort of a cocktail. These can be taken by mouth, shots under the skin, occasionally IV. And usually we do that combination treatment for some period of months once somebody needs treatment. It's all outpatient. It doesn't require being in the hospital. And then for fit patients, we often will move from that to stem cell transplant. Some people call that bone marrow transplant. Mm-hmm. And in myeloma, we're almost always using a person's own stem cells from their bone marrow as the source.
How long is someone going to have to deal with this disease? Is this can be cured? Will you have it for a short amount of time? And what's the timeline?
You know, it's a chronic illness. Right now, the therapies that we have aren't considered curative. But we're increasingly able to put patients in remission. Using the currently available treatments, more than 70% to 80% of patients will get to remission or a near remission status just from the induction therapy. And sometimes, often, the disease control with this first line of therapy lasts for several years. But it's usual down the road that patients will need other therapies.
I know I had a lot of questions for you because this is new to me too, and thanks to Lauren for introducing me to this whole topic. And Lauren, you know, how can patients get help if they've been diagnosed with myeloma? You know, and thank you, doctor, for going into detail about this. But then now, where do you come into this, Lauren?
Yeah, once a patient has been diagnosed with myeloma, they're often working with their hematologist oncologist, like Dr. Zonder. And of course, they're going to get the support there. But we encourage everyone to give us a call here at LLS as well. That number is 844-955-LINK, or go on to lls.org. And you can get connected with one of our resource specialists who can really walk you through, answer any questions that you have, walk you through all the wonderful programs we have. We have support, education, we have financial support as well, a whole range of supportive resources that are there for you. So again, that number is 844-955-LINK, or you can just go to our website, lls.org, and I promise you, you will open up a whole can of worms of support and a network of help there. So yeah, we encourage you to give us a call.
Great. Again, my name is Michael Van Tool. March is Myeloma Awareness Month, and this is part of a series recognizing cancer disparities here in Michigan with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. I'm here with Lauren Wagner. She's the Patient and Community Outreach Manager for Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Also, Dr. Jeffrey Zonder. He's the leader of the Multiple Myeloma and Amyloidosis Multidisciplinary team, as well as the co-leader of a scientific member of the Molecular Therapeutics Program at the Barbara Karmanos Cancer Institute. I know that's a lot to say. He's also a professor in the Department of Oncology at Wayne State University School of Medicine. Paris Jones is also here. Paris is a film producer, CEO of Paris Films, and a myeloma survivor. Paris, thank you for joining us and being here to tell your story. What was it like for you to hear when, you know, you were diagnosed with myeloma? I talked a little bit about what a surprise it can be sometimes.
Yeah,
how did that happen with you?
Well, you kind of heard from Dr. Zonder the different, finding out. Mine came from back pain. I was having just tons of back pain, rib pain. And then one day I sneezed and it just shattered my whole back.
Wow.
And, then other stuff started to happen, blood coming out of my nose, out of my mouth. And then it was like every day started getting worse where I was using like a cane to walk and then, using two canes to walk. And I still didn't go to the hospital,
How old were you when this happened?
40. I was 40 years old. I'm 43 now. So
did
yeah,
you have
when
any,
I found
any
out,
any signs before that?
No
any,
signs. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
You were feeling good.
Feeling good. I was in the gym every single day, eating good every day, and it just came. And you know, the crazy thing was when I first found out that I had it, I didn't know what it was at all. I didn't know. But you know, just went to the doctor to, you know, because I was having all of these symptoms. I never would go to the doctor beforehand. Never would get checked out.
What would you say now to people?
Oh my God! I tell
in our age and demographic group, because I am African American, 60 years old. What would you say to
get checked out?
Yeah,
get a physician. Get your scheduled checkups. It is, you know, I went from never going to, you know, I was in there once a week, and then.
And why do you think you didn't go?
Just scared of hearing.
You know,
if I feel good, I feel like I don't have to go in. And, you know, we always wait until something happens to go in. And that's what it was for me. And it was life changing. And I think if I went in a little bit earlier, you know, I mean, I can't say for sure, but I feel like I probably wouldn't, you know, because every day is different of what I go through, because some I have really good days. And really tough days from the, you know, from my back and what it did, the damage it did to my bones.
Do you still feel some discomfort sometimes?
A lot of times.
You do.
Yes.
You do.
And like I said, if I went in, you know, I wouldn't have probably the severe bone damage that I do have.
And you had no idea what those pains were.
No.
And I'm sure you thought it was something very simple. And
yeah, just like a tweak. Because I played a lot of basketball and, you know, work out a lot. And I felt it was from that.
So how did that news affect you when they said you had myeloma cancer? How did that affect
terrified,
you?
Terrified, scared. As soon as I heard the word, you know, he came in and said, okay, because they did a CAT scan. And then it was 20 minutes later, comes right in and says, okay, you have multiple myeloma. It's a blood cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately, just terrified because I didn't know what it was. And then, you know, he kind of gave me a little bit of the rundown on it, you know, saying that it could be, you know, treated right. But at that time, he said that, you know, because everything was failing when I went in there, lungs, everything. And they said I had anemia at that time and I needed a blood transfusion immediately. So, as soon as, you know, they admitted me in there. So
what's a typical week or month like now? How are you navigating through this whole process?
You know, just as far as, you know, I would just say, you know, more of the times, like, you know, I wake up, I'll, you know, got to get my walk in, do a little bit of exercise.
And you're taking treatment?
Yep, taking treatment. Every day I have to take a chemotherapy pill that I take. And then I take, you know, some pain meds as well. But, you know, incorporating the exercise is key.
Well, obviously.
Because I can't sit in a certain place for so long or it was just starting to tighten up.
Discomfort, yeah. Obviously, has affected your life.
100%.
As I said, that you are a film producer also. How has that affected or changed you as a producer? Has it how's that? Tell me about that.
Well, you know, I'm trying to put it more to use. I am shooting a documentary about my situation and my story, and so I can educate people, you know, on this subject. But I can still do, you know, producing and stuff like that. I can't do as much physical stuff, you know, like on set as much as I did before. But
do you get fatigued, tired, and all that? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I just worked on a project, and I actually slept a lot on set. But the team knew. They all know my condition and stuff. But because usually I'm ripping and running.
Right.
But I had to take a lot of a lot of breaks.
Got
to
slow down.
So, but, just it did affect me and, you know, a lot of work, you know, as well. Financially, it was a big impact as well, like huge impact. So, but LLS has been amazing. Like Lauren said, make sure you reach out. if you do come across, you know, this, and they've been very, very supportive mm-hmm. with their programs, you know, helped me and my family out tons.
Well, thank you for sharing that real life experience. You know, we could get kind of technical on it, and Dr. Zonder gave us some very good
details. Yes, and also, too, Dr. Uh-huh. Zonder is actually my oncologist. He's my doctor as well. And he's been a blessing.
It sounds like you got the best.
he's incredible.
Knows all about this.
Yes.
And again, thanks, Dr. Zonder, for being a part of this conversation. Lauren, so what? How can we learn more about these cancers? And again, if you just go over some of the types of services that your organization provides for patients like Paris.
Yeah, of course. Again, I'm going to tout this number all over town. Mm-hmm. Just give us a call, 844-955-LINK, or go to LLS.org. We have lots of information and support resources right there at the touch of your fingertips. Or just a quick phone call away. You will talk when you call that number. You will talk to a master's level social worker or a nurse navigator who knows about your condition and can connect you with other resources. We have things like our First Connection program, where we can connect you with a peer who has walked this journey. If you're newly diagnosed with any blood cancer or you're a caregiver, please give us a call. We can get you connected with someone who has been there and is trained to be able to connect with you and talk with you and be a support. We've got support groups. We've got online versions of support groups and online chats. Just any way that we can give you some additional social support and emotional support. We also have what Paris alluded to. Blood cancer is expensive to get. Mm. One of the most expensive cancers to get. And we don't have oral chemo parity in Michigan, which makes it even more expensive, which that's a whole nother topic. But essentially, it's not covered the same way under insurance. And so it makes oral chemos a lot more expensive for patients. So we have programs like our copay assistance program, which for myeloma patients is $13,000 of reimbursement that they can get for medical expenses and things mm-hmm. like that. I also encourage anyone who is listening, if you know anyone who's been diagnosed with a blood cancer and has not called us, to come give us a call, claim your $100. We have a patient aid program that anyone can access that has been diagnosed with a blood cancer. So definitely get your $100 at the very least if you've been diagnosed. And there's no strings attached there, but you might have to talk to me. So, you mm-hmm. know,
okay.
maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a bad thing.
No, it's a good thing.
Yes. Yes. But so many options for getting support. So really, I don't have time in this half hour to talk about it all. But please give us a call. You can call me directly. Is that okay if I give out my personal email?
Absolutely.
It is Lauren@LLS.org. My personal number is 248-581-3891. I'm happy to talk to anyone. If you're a little nervous about calling the 800 number, you can give me a call too.
Great, great. Dr. Zonder, before we go, we just got a few more minutes. Just if you can kind of tell me briefly, what do these blood cancers do to you? I don't want to, I'm not trying to go for another half hour and get too technical, but what do they do to the body?
Well, I think it varies according to the type of blood cancer, but in multiple myeloma, you know, the things we really pay attention to is the bone health, kidney health.
So it attacks the bone structure.
And so the therapy also includes treatments specifically aimed at keeping the bones strong for uh-huh. patients. We pay very close attention to kidney health.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, the therapies over time can have chronic side effects. And so we're constantly monitoring for side effects so that we can titrate and adjust therapy, troubleshoot issues that come up, and arrive at a treatment plan that makes the most sense for each patient.
Any promising treatments coming along, research being done?
There's great uh-huh. therapies coming, including some recently approved ones. One of the biggies that people may have heard about is something called CAR T cells, which is a therapy where we take your immune cells process them in a way that makes them able to target the cancer cells, and then we give them back to you and turn them loose to fight the cancer. And there are actually two different CAR T cells approved now for multiple myeloma. The last one was this last month. And there's other immune therapies that are in rapid development that are just incredibly potent.
Well, great. Paris Jones, you are a myeloma survivor. Any last remarks that you want to share with the audience before we go about you might not have mentioned about your experience with it? And what do you say to those who are listening?
First thing, like I said in the beginning, if make sure you go get checked out. That's just number one. Just going back real quick to my age, as far as it's young for me, for this age demographic,
A lot of guys, they're either too tough and don't want to go because they can
that
handle this. I think
that was me.
Or they're too scared. It's amazing how those. How can you, be tough and scared? But
I know.
But that's exactly two of the things that people go through. Either there's a group that's too afraid or some that are too tough, feel like they're too tough to
that's
go.
That's what I will just press. That's basically, please, please go get checked out, whatever.
Get over that tough guy macho thing.
Get over
and
it.
Go.
Yeah. Just, do it. Because I was that person that thought, I was invincible.
Yes.
And
well, it's good to see you here functioning. Yep.
Positive energy. That's one thing that really gets me through is, just being careful of stuff that you watch.
Uh-huh.
You got to be careful on stuff that you eat.
Yes.
And keep good positive energy around you. Because if you you can get into this, there's times where I can get into, my head a little bit.
Yeah.
And, It can be a little
because
bit
it
rough.
Is a big deal.
It is.
Yes, it is. Well, thank you, Paris Jones, for sharing your story with us.
Thank you so much
with
for
us today,
me.
Dr. Jeffrey Zonder. Thank you so much for taking the time and to go into detail with us. I feel so much more informed just today, but this series really hasn't. I've learned a lot from this series. I can see why you're a professor at Wayne State. It's very apparent. Your knowledge.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate the invitation.
Great. And Lauren Wagner, thank you so much from LLS, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, for bringing this valuable information, especially this month to highlight it. Because as I said, and I thank you, too, for, bringing this information to me. I'm in the same group that's susceptible to these diseases. So thank you again.
Thank you. And if you don't mind, if I can just plug real quick here
Absolutely.
At the end, is we are looking for volunteers like Paris, like you, Michael, for helping us to just spread this word in Detroit, in Flint, in all of really throughout Michigan, but looking for churches who want to host us for a Myeloma Sunday and just raise awareness, for organizations that want to bring this information, Greek organizations, any of those organizations that want to make sure that their membership knows about this, I am more than happy to connect with you. We're looking for community ambassadors right now, and so they can reach out to me directly and get more information, lauren.wagner@lls.org, and I'd be happy to train them up, get them ready to go, and be educators for their community.
Great. And I hope that our listeners have been informed and will take action now as they learn about the effects of these diseases and there is treatment for it. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.